This is the Mad Marv Comedy Lounge. Trap comedy at its finest. Where if you can't slang yourself, you might as well hang yourself. This is also where you can turn yourself into dope and you become the real man. Whoa, yeah.
All right, welcome to another exciting edition of the Mad Marv Comedy Lounge Live. I'm Mad Marv. We got the co-host, super co-host, Jeff Arnold. First of all, I want to let you guys know that we really appreciate and thank you for coming out and supporting all the shows. I have a big announcement to make. We're going to be at the J-Spot in Inglewood on Aviation in Manchester, right across the street from the GS, where all the hoochies and the rats go.
Oh, that's where we're going now?
Yeah, we're going across the street from the rats.
We upgraded?
Yeah, we upgraded to, you know, that's a good vicinity. If anybody that's ratchet
vicinity.
Or whatever. Yeah, vicinity. That's a good word for that ratchet vicinity. You know what I'm saying? Because of the gentrification that they're doing in Inglewood, we want to give it a good title, Ratchet Vicinity.
You know ratchet. What I'm saying? All right.
Yeah, so that's where we're moving on the 16th of September. So be there or be square. Now, this is what I also want to let you guys know. When you buy your tickets at the J-Spot or whatever, you come to the door. If you mention that you're from the Mad Marv Comedy Lounge, you listen to it, you're going to get a discount or something like that. So make sure you do that and everything is cool. What's the day, Jeff?
How much of a discount first?
I'm not going to tell you how much of a discount. It might be 35 cents, but it's going to be something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's the Triple T's Tuesday.
Yeah, whatever it is.
We added one.
What are we at?
It's Tequila, Titty, and Taco Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, we did add that. Yeah. I didn't get my tequila today.
Because Farouk drank all this shit. So what he had on Drunk Patrol?
He might be because he been really on that tequila for a long time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so tequila got him missing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, so where's he at?
I don't know. We going to ask him if he ever show up. You know what I'm saying?
Swimming in tequila and shit.
Yeah,
huh?
So I'm going to do both spots. I'm going to do my spot and I'm going to do Farouk's spot at the same time.
But you're going to be drunk off the tequila? On
no, I'm just going to do Farouk. So ask me a question.
Where's Farouk at?
Well, see, first of all,
now you gotta get
listen,
deeper. You gotta get deeper.
Listen, this is deep I can go. First of all, listen, don't worry about where I'm at. You worry about where you at.
It don't make a motherfucking difference.
It don't make a motherfucking difference where I'm at. You worry about where you at as a black man or a black woman. Sisters, listen, you okay?
Because you have to varnish a motherfucking weapon.
You gonna varnish it? You gotta varnish that motherfucker.
Gotta varnish the motherfucker. Let me tell you something, man, about how the fucking America is. See, the white man got a motherfucker walking all over here and shit, drinking tequila, and fuck you with them 2 degrees over there, motherfucker. All that bullshit you talking about, how you fucking sound stupid, motherfucker. Got 2 degrees and you doing motherfucking comedy. What the fuck you got? What the fuck is hotel administration anyway?
Are you varnishing a degree?
Yeah.
He thought you was varnishing a degree. That's what he thought.
Oh, I love that, brother. Man, get your drunk ass over here.
You stupid motherfucker coming up in here. Now, I heard you talking about me and all that shit.
First of all, Jeff, listen. Listen. Shut the fuck up and listen, Jeff.
With your motherfucking
head. Because, see, that hotel degree don't mean a goddamn thing.
In the real motherfucking world, you walking around here, ain't even went to college, got called out. You wouldn't even play no motherfucking basketball. You was a motherfucking practice player. Telling everybody you played for a shooting motherfucker. Fuck all that bullshit in your
you
son.
You was a professional Pop Warner player. Just admit it.
And you bullshitting your son. You're lying to that motherfucker with your 2 degrees and shit. Because you ain't done shit.
Hey, look, Farouk should have been darker than what he is, don't you think?
Oh, man.
Don't even mind your Uncle Ruckus from, what is it, the Boondock?
Yeah, somebody, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
He like Uncle Ruckus, but in a Terrence Howard body. Oh. But anyway, what we got going on, because there's a lot of stuff going on, and, you know, election is coming up close. And then,
close to 80 days from now.
But look, you got these people in front of Food for Less. They were like, are you a registered voter? You want to register? And then, you know, you got people be coming out the store drunk. Like, for what? For what? Why I want to register to vote for? I don't even want to register. I can't even get this liquor because my ID is expired.
But they got motherfuckers out here hustling. They like, you give me $5, you know, and I'll vote for Trump.
Yeah,
you know, so shit. You know, my
vote. $5 You gonna vote for Trump?
Yeah, Farouk came in with his lunchbox and shit.
The latest bastard. He's just gonna walk in. He don't give a damn about no break. Look at him. I told you that. Now look here. We had the tacos and the titty.
Everybody.
Here go the tequila.
Was arguing with a disgruntled customer. Almost had to whoop their ass about my
bread.
About
my bread.
What happened, man? Because you told me you was across the street cutting hair, and you said, "Look, Marv, I just got to give her a line up, and I'll be right there." What the hell happened?
Then they had to discrepancy with the price list.
What, you didn't tell them how much?
You got that word right. Look, discrepancy.
You might as well just go ahead and just leave right now. Just give me my bread. Matter of fact,
you line her up
time.
Though.
You wasted my time, so I need all of my bread.
How much she pay you?
Just $20
for a lineup.
Yeah, and the taper. That's a haircut. Oh, really, I charge her $5 cheaper.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to charge because you said a lineup first. Did you tell her, did she say she wanted a lineup first or did she add a taper after she sat down?
Thank you. And I told her that tapers come free with a line. When you get a taper, you get a line for free.
Right.
But lineups don't come with free tapers.
See, this what, okay, let's educate these people that come to the barbershop. These ones I hate. Look, they go like this. Let me just get a lineup. How much for a lineup? Okay, $10. Then they get in the chair. You give them a lineup and you give them the mirror. Then they go, can you just cut the... Look, they make up their own shit. Can you just cut the wispies?
A trim.
Nigga, what is a wispy?
What the hell is a trim?
I guess it's the second cousin.
Or a shape up.
It's the second cousin to a wispy. But see, if I got to pull my scissors out or my clippers and
it's
start cutting...
That's a haircut.
It's a haircut. Now you in a whole different tax bracket.
Yeah, it's $25.
Right? Yeah.
But you did it for $20, though.
You
right?
can bullshit yourself, but you cannot bullshit a seasoned veteran. I done heard every lie and every bullshit you can come in the
barbershop
with.
Have you heard this one? Hey, look, I left my money in the car, so look here, I'm gonna go get it after you cut me, and then I'll be right back. Here, look, here's my Nick's check cashing card. I'll be right back. Nigga, yo, Nick's check cashing card on me and shit.
They tell you that after they get the haircut?
Oh, hey, look, I had a dude come in, right? Damn. And then he haggled me for the price. Look, he started giving me all the... My mama just had cancer. We had the funeral, and we just had to unplug it. We got to show up and everything. And all I got is $15. Can you do it for $15? I said, well, shit, your mama, when is the funeral? He said, it's tomorrow, man. And I swear, that's all I got is $15. So I said, okay, I cut his hair. Farouk was looking at me like, don't do it, Merv. Don't do it. And I was like, you know, I felt bad because I just lost my
mama. Nigga pulled out a wad of money.
That nigga pulled out racks like he was Chief Keef or something. He had a big roll. And then he asked me, did I have change? I said, look here, nigga.
Man.
Run all of that. He started talking about his mom. I said, well, let's dig her up and shake the worms out that bitch.
And
I think she'll whoop
your
ass. Give me that bread. Don't try to swindle your barber.
It's not an easy thing being a barber in the quote unquote black community.
What about this one, Fru?
I'm sick of niggas.
Fru, what about this one? You tell them $20. $20. Oh, I could go down on the east side. Well, take your ass to the east side.
But we always want to haggle each other for
but
a price.
But they tell me what the next barber previous to me cut their hair for the discount price, but they explain to me how he fucked their head up.
Right.
You know, and
they
then,
want you to get them a discount.
And then they
want to
talk about how they pop bottles, they gave their girl some money, they bought their mama a new Cadillac, they gave the church some money for a roof and
but
all
you,
that
now you
shit.
Now you short with
but
my bread.
You don't want to pay me $35 for a full service. That's sickening to me.
I mean,
and they sitting up in your chair with brand new motherfucking Jordans on.
Thank you. And if it wasn't for the haircut, you wouldn't be shit.
I seen a dude. Look.
Think about that. Your haircut is important to your appearance if you're a professional person. Even if you a bum or a slick nigga in the street, you want to look professional, so you want to stay well groomed
at all times.
So pay your barber like you pay your taxes, and you'll never go wrong.
Farouk, I believe this dude's sad ass story one time. He ain't had no money, and I believed it and shit. I thought I did my good Samaritan job for the day or whatever. I go to the club. This nigga at the bar popping bottles. I say, I know when the bottles is for me. This nigga gonna tell me, oh, you want to sweat me about that punk ass $10?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't punk ass when you bought it from me.
Thank you.
Pop that bottle before I pop your ass upside yourself.
That's right.
Look, in real life, though.
Them Nigerians will really get you. I got so cold by a Nigerian lady. She was slick.
Man,
I cut her son's hair, gave him designs, everything.
What
right?
kind of purse did she have?
She didn't have no purse.
Usually they have a Prada or a Coach.
Yeah, so she comes to me, you know, my little apron where you keep your barber tools and stuff at. She comes to me and grabbed me real close, squeezed me on my ass and stuck the money in there.
What?
So I felt, you know, kind of like, oh, you know, like, wow.
Like you was
she
at the,
got in the
right
car
track?
And peeled off, and I looked at the money she gave me. She gave me $6.
Oh, wow. She got you?
Yeah.
That's crazy. But I'm going to tell you, because in Africa, everything.
Better not see her ass again, though, I'll tell you that much, because I got a palm pilot for her ass.
Hey, in Africa, everything 50 cents. So they're going to always repeat what you say. If you say $10, oh, that's too much, $10. Whatever you say is going to be too much for their ass.
Fuck them.
That's what I say.
Don't deal with them.
Over here, you got to pay the cost of living here. You know, I hear a lot of people from different states, California too high. But you make a lot of money here. You can take your broke ass back to wherever you came from with the low income wages and everything else is low income and feel comfortable playing a no income.
This is not the third world.
This is California.
But I'm finding out, though, it is expensive to be poor than a motherfucker, though.
It is, but check this out. It's free to be in poverty, Jeff.
Exactly. But motherfuckers pay for what they want.
Thank you.
Because when I see the motherfuckers, because when me and my cousin was doing our clothing line, motherfuckers was coming to us with the same bullshit.
Thank you.
Man, how much you charging for that?
Did you sell to white people?
Yes. We got a full price for that.
They might give you a tip.
And they do all that.
But when you deal with a nigga, don't say your people, Jeff. This is what we got to get straight, America. Brothers and sisters need to separate themselves from these no good for nothing niggas.
All right. Black people okay? are niggas.
There's a difference, okay? A nigga is a byproduct of his oppressive ass slave master, okay? And he has not.
So you saying they the white man in disguise?
No, I'm saying that he's a low budget form of an agent of a white man.
Carbon copy.
Yeah, that carbon is darker. So he's a darker copy of the white man. Thank you for that. I like that. That's the new word today, carbon copy. But what I'm saying is,
ain't that two words?
Black people to understand the principles of reciprocation, that know how important it is for us to start community with ourselves on how we deal with each other, with social issues and our money, and how we come together to do things collectively for us, and how we come together collectively to ward off things that's against us, okay?
Like
so
tequila.
If your black ass feel like it's cool to go to the damn Gucci store. This is a true story. A nigga went to the Gucci store and framed the fucking receipt and put it on the wall in his living room. $2,500 he spent at the Gucci store and framed it. But this same nigga tells me that I charge too much when I'm charging him $25 for a haircut.
Exactly.
This is the shit that got to stop. Quit spending your money with the other man and spend your money with the brother man. Now, if you dealing with a nigga, whoop his ass and rob him because he don't deserve to do business in the community either.
Now, that goes both ways. I'm going to ask you, Jeff, now, because I think sometimes we ought to get there. Have you ever tried to get over on another brother? Like if they tell you the price of something, do you say, well, let me get it for this lower?
No, I never did that.
No, I always pay what they ask for.
For real?
Yeah, always. I've always paid for what they asked for.
Y'all some good
now,
brothers.
Now, if you a crackhead, you got room for bargaining.
Y'all good brothers.
But if you a straight-up businessman and you work hard, whether you pay your taxes or not, see, as a black man, it's pain and suffering every day just to get 50 fucking cent in your pocket just to buy eye water to cry with. That's how bad it is. You got to hustle up on 50 fucking cent to pay for eye water to cry with before you can handle your shit.
And a nigga will 56 you to death.
Any dime that the black man get is well earned. So anything that the black man created and out here, if he ain't trying to rob you or pimp your sister or sell dope to your mama, if he's doing something honest and righteous, please support him.
Hey, where can the listeners get eye water at?
That's a good question.
Stumping that motherfucker.
God damn.
So now they got to buy it, though. Shit is high.
It probably at the 99.
Yeah, you know, we so damn broke out here, we can't afford to cry.
Exactly. Now, talking about the social media, the black females
can I get that pen?
Have been like killing over the Olympics. And the thing about it is that social media has been going off on Gabby Douglas about her hair, about her not saluting for the national anthem.
Why they don't go off on these white women about having no ass? They be looking like chicken thighs.
Exactly. But I'm just saying, you know, they like bullying her online and all of that, and her mom had to step up and intervene and all that. And this is like, and it's been more black women putting her down. Yes. Talking about she needs to do something with her hair and all that. But then my whole thing, hold up a second. My whole thing is like, wait a minute. Y'all have to understand, this girl is over there competing.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not trying to, she's not in a beauty pageant, first of all.
She ain't at the club?
No, she's not at a beauty pageant.
She's out there showing athletic ability.
And she's competing. And if you ever competed, you sweat, you do all that. You don't come there full makeup and all of that.
I think what it is.
But see, a lot of them fall in the media, too.
Hold on, that's very important. You know what I think it is? I think that these women that's complaining, they want to add a hair weave as an Olympic event.
Thank you. But what I'm saying is this. I know the sister Samal Country, and not to be offensive to my black women because you're beautiful and you should adorn your beautiful body with the finest of thing. But you out there trying to win a gold medal. Why you got chains and necklaces and fake nails and shit on? When you look at the China lady or the European lady, they don't have none of that shit on. They out there trying to win. Now, let me tell you this about the sister here. A lot of American black women are brainwashed with this falsified fact that other people's hair is better than your hair. This is why you go out in another part of the oppression of your slave-like thinking. You spend all your damn money, 10 to 20, twenties of thousands of dollars within 3 or 4 years for fake ass hair. That's not yours, okay? Take care of your own hair, sister. Be comfortable in your own skin and love yourself for who you are.
For real.
So hair in her natural state makes a statement through all the world that the most dominant man on this planet Earth is American black man, and the most dominant woman on this planet is who gave birth to the living God is American black woman. So everybody have to bow down and respect the queen.
How many
times? Worried about her damn hair. Worry about your nappy ass hair and feed them kids.
For real. How many times we been in
got
the shop.
That damn weave, and you ain't even got shit in the icebox to feed them because your weave took all the money.
Look, how many times we been in the shop and the woman spend $140 on her weave, they want to get her son a haircut, we tell them $15,
$20. She want to spend
$5. Oh, that's too much.
See, that's, yeah.
Then when you cut his hair, he got enough dirt on this damn scalp, you can grow a whole goddamn potatoes. You can grow a farm on his head. You got so much dirt on the top of his scalp, you can grow potatoes, okay? And wingworms and all this other stuff, I wanted to call him a nigga, but I'm trying to be far from saying it. But he won't stay still, okay? It is not an easy job to give you a perfect haircut when you don't stay still, and I got to deal with dirty hair, greasy hair.
That's why I charge $20 for
wingworms or lice and all this other stuff. Okay, now you got all this money on this maintenance for a little girl on India hair, her hair, but you don't want to maintain your son's hair with simple soap and grease. Get your shit together, sisters out there in America. I'm tired of this, okay? I love you. I'm trying to support you. But I can't let you keep on going on in the wrong way with all this madness that's adding to this deplorable situation that we live in.
Hey, you been studying.
And I said deplorable, right?
You been studying your words? You been studying your words? Because we was waiting for it, and he got him. He damn near got him all right.
No, I'm going to fuck up 3 words before it's over with. Purposely, people.
But all right, we about to go to break right now. And make sure you chime in and call in at 323-293-3375. And let's see what y'all feel about your behavior at the barbershop. And we're back talking about this haircut situation, because we got on a serious topic right here, because, you know, I've been a barber for a while, and it's some strange things go on in the barber shop. I mean, It used to be a cool place, especially working on Crenshaw. I used to call it the Crenshaw Shopping Network because we didn't have to even leave. Anything we wanted food, it was delivered to us. It'd be Christmas, Valentine's Day, people come in and we can get it without leaving.
What's going on in the barbershop now?
Oh, in the barbershop now, I see a lot of men are not in there with the kids, and a lot of the women bring the male children in, and they don't know what the hell to do with that hair. And this is my main one. You get to picking the little boy hair out, and then they get to crying, and then the mama get to, you're hurting him. And I said, well, why don't you comb the hair before? Well, he doesn't like me to comb it. So you just letting this shit roll up like taco meat on his kid's hair.
But your shit look like fine silk.
Oh, yeah. Your shit fine
and
shit
coming
wavy.
Up in there whipped and all that. Her nails, everything together.
Yeah.
And so dragging the kids.
What I do is, see, I ain't got time for all that shit. I ain't going to go through it. So what I do is I send that mama to McDonald's or something, go get him a little cheeseburger or something. While she going, I'm going to put him in a headlock, and I'm picking that shit out and wipe
combing
his eyes.
Shit.
Oh, yeah, because sometimes you got to do that with these kids. What about, did your kid ever have a problem with get his hair cut?
No, never.
You ever send him to the barbershop with his mama?
Yeah.
How'd
she always
out?
Fuck his head up. She always mess his head up. I mean, you know, because she was always wanting to cut, you know, one style and all that. But then, you know, as he got older, I was like, man, you can't keep letting your mama decide what kind of haircut you want to wear. You got to decide. You have to talk up for yourself and tell the barber what you want.
Yeah.
You know, and then he started doing it. So he started going with me a lot more.
Right.
So, I mean, so, you know, that was cool. That was cool taking him to the barbershop.
That's a good point because, you know, how many times we done had them kids come in here and then the daddy or somebody would say, okay, tell him what you want. And then when the kid got an opportunity, he'd be whispering and shit, can we just get one can I just get a like what?
That's for being around his mama a lot.
Yeah.
Jeff, I like your beard and shit, man.
You like that?
Yeah, it's all right, man.
That salt and pepper, man.
That's what that is?
That's what it is, player.
That's all right, man.
You know, that's that wisdom, player. You gonna get it soon.
I thought somebody put glue on his face and he rubbed a white cat on his face.
Yeah, he looked like a distinguished Ben Vereen. Yeah, that shit tight, though, you know, Jeff. I like that, you know, though, man. That's
Chicken
cool,
George?
Man.
He look like Chicken George? You know?
Yeah.
Chicken George 3000?
It's like, shit. So the next topic we're going to talk about, man, is the race that went on with two fantastic races. Shawnee Miller.
You talking about the Olympics?
Shawnee Miller and Allison Felix. Shawnee Miller dived. Across
she
the
dived,
yeah.
Yeah, that's the sister for the Bahamas.
Yes. So how do you feel about that?
Hey, you gotta do whatever you gotta do to win, man.
Yeah.
It ain't nothing in the rule book to say that you can't Superman a hole for a gold medal. And she did that, so she deserved it. Whoever crossed the finish line first do it.
Yeah.
So
that's like the same as when one of the Williams sisters was in the Olympic, and then she won, and then she crip walked, and they was getting mad at her about
that. She's got to represent for the CPT, man.
If you're a winner should be able to do whatever they want to do.
Thank you.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Because winners going to win, losers going to lose.
So I never.
A winner shouldn't be able to just show their ass to the whole world. Don't just moan everybody in the world.
Now, if they get to twerking,
you want
to
crip walk. Yeah, I like twerk.
Yeah, if they twerk.
You want to twerk or something like that, feel free.
I like that volleyball a bit now.
Yeah.
So did you like it? So speaking of crip walk, did you like it when Steph Curry, when they won last year, when he crip walked?
Yeah, but he didn't do it right. That wasn't crip walk.
That was like a Golden State.
Yeah.
What'd you call that?
That was Golden State Shuffle. That's called inner city square dancing, what he was doing. That was not the crip walk.
That was Golden State Shuffle.
Bullshit. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the inner city square dance because he's a square ass cat and that wasn't a crip walk.
Well, you know the Rams is back to L.A. and we had a
good game.
They won.
Yeah, we had a good game last week.
Did y'all go?
No, we'd be at work Saturday. Went. We were at work. Yeah. But tickets is like $50. You can go and watch Rams.
They got a game coming up this weekend.
I might go to that one. I might see that. You know what I'm saying? Before the tickets get too high. I might go in.
Before they move to Inglewood.
That's when they go get high. They go stay at 50 at the damn Coliseum.
When they go to Inglewood, that's when they go get high?
Yeah.
Well, they trying to make that stadium in Inglewood hot like the AT&T.
State of the arts.
Yeah, like it, like Dallas, where they play at.
They better not have no $12
hot dogs. A few movie theaters, a couple of five-star hotels, restaurants.
Yeah. So are they still going to keep
like
casinos
the Grove shopping complexes.
Are they still going to have a casino in there where you can gamble?
Yeah, well, they got that brand new Hollywood casino they already built.
Right next door, yeah.
Once they started opening up, they go tear the old one down to make more space for the stadium and everything.
Because that old one was raggedy. It was raggedy. Even the racetrack was raggedy. All that shit was ragged. It's time to build that
Last time I was there, I seen a rat kicking over a can looking for some chips to go back in there and gamble.
It's like that rap. Y'all saw that rat pizza, didn't y'all?
Nah, what happened?
That motherfucking rat was pulling that pizza.
What happened?
Down the stairs. Oh, that shit was viral, man.
Where was it?
New York.
In New York?
Yes.
Oh, shit. I would.
In New York?
Yes.
Yeah, they got rats to the kick cats ass in New
York. Hell yeah.
They got rats biggest cats.
New York got one clean street in it and nobody know where it is.
Exactly.
Look, I was there one time and I seen a rat chasing a cat. And I thought I was seeing things, but it was real life shit. The rat was chasing the cat. So I don't know how many people could just live. That's why they call it the rat race, huh, in New York.
Exactly.
Oh, in the wintertime, the rats in New York, they grow like minks. They look like big ass possums. They grow like extra fur and shit.
Fur
they look like a possum.
They look like P. Diddy.
Yeah, these motherfuckers is way up, man.
Shit. You ever been to New York?
Yeah, I've been to New York.
Did you do the Apollo?
I did the Apollo, and I did the... I did Def Jam. When I did the Apollo, I ain't gonna lie, I was a little disappointed because it looked so big.
But the theater, yeah,
my dressing room, my elbows was hitting the wall.
Yeah, fifth floor.
Yeah, it didn't have no no window in it or nothing. It smelled like old grand people. You know how you
take you to take the thing about the Apollo is that they take comics to the fifth floor.
Kiki Shepherd looked.
And then and then you have to come down the service elevator.
Right, like you used to steal a slave.
And that shit is like. It's done for a purpose because it's to intimidate you and to scare you. And it's like, and then once you get off the service elevator, you got to take that little walk behind
the
stage
right.
To the right side of the stage. And you're just like, man, I got to go through all this shit. But if you have a great show, you're welcoming that motherfucker.
A lot of new comics, that's one thing since you bringing that up. A lot of new comics is missing out on a lot of nostalgic things that
historical places and all of that. Yeah.
Like you're a new comedian. What kind of things would you say is your aspirations to, like, you want to play? Like, when you say you blow up, where would you like to play? Like, if you played it, you say, okay, I finally made it.
The Apollo would be one of it. That's a grand premiere area for all the entertainment. You know, they got a lot of places also on Broadway in New York.
But I think your material will go over well in the Apollo.
Thanks,
I think you would relate to him because you would come out and you would hit him hard.
And if they try to boo him, he don't
talk about real shit, people. Okay, kids nowadays need they ass whoop. Whoop these kids' ass.
You trying to make people catch cases?
I'd rather catch a case than your kid catch a damn case.
If you're gonna do it,
your ass.
If you're gonna advocate ass whoopings, at least tell them the proper way to do it in which they won't go to jail.
Palm pilot is the way to go.
That's
open
gonna
it.
Leave a mark.
Slap the shit out of them. That's okay.
I prefer waterboarding because it don't leave no mark.
Because you just disciplined your son. You said
slap the shit out of him.
Yeah.
They ain't had a problem out of him yet. He been all right.
Once you lay hands on him. It's all it takes.
Yeah, his mama got her shit together too. You
now,
know, I love her.
Did you get ass whoopers when you were a kid?
Yeah, but they call that back then in modern days that would have been abuse. You know, my father gave me about two black eyes before.
Now, did you buck up to your father at what age?
Never.
You never did?
No.
I did to my father once. I was 16.
16? Yep. What happened?
I just got to the point where it's like, you know, because I was, you know, physically, and my pops was like, wait a minute, hold up, dude.
My father always been a big dude. My father was like George Foreman. People used to ask me, how do you fuck up and get in trouble with your big ass daddy? He used to whoop my ass, man.
Wow. Your daddy, I've heard some of the stories about your father. And would you say he was like one of them Avengers or something? Because you told me about how he pulled his own teeth.
Yeah. Pulled his own wisdom, too.
What did he use? What kind
that's
of
somebody you don't want to fuck with then.
Some wire cutters.
That's somebody you don't want to fuck with.
Sober. No liquor, no none of that.
What?
My pops was a really hard-nosed type of guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, they were men back then.
Yeah.
And the one thing that it discouraged me from, you know, challenging my dad is my boy, my homie, my best friend I grew up with, I saw his dad beat the fuck out of him.
How old was he?
He was 16.
Yeah, well, see, that boy probably would have been me, you growing up with me, because my father whooped my friend's ass.
And that's, you know what?
Was he still your friend afterwards?
Yeah.
Yeah, because afterwards,
to this day.
And me and my boy laughed, because he always fucked with me. He's like, man, you punked out. You ain't even help. I was like, man, the way your pops was hitting your motherfucking ass. And his father turned to me, and he was like, you his best friend, jump in. I'm like,
hell
I ain't got shit to do with this.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't have shit to do. He's like,
no. In fact, I told him, don't do that shit.
You know, he walking up to me, you know, and his pops was like, I'm 6'2". My buddy is 6'1". His pops was like 5'11". But his pops was like, you know, built. Mm. And he just like took that watch off. And, you know, and I love you, Terry. You know, and I tell this story. And Terry was talking shit to him. And Terry was like muscle bound. And you know, his mom kept telling him to take out the trash.
Yeah.
And he like, you know, I'm getting to it. And his pops was like, yo, man, how many times your mom got to tell you that? And you know, Terry first, because he's no, he not that, he wasn't that handsome. He had the keloids and all that. But he had a fine girlfriend that was fucking him.
What was her name? So, Keisha?
You know, Diane.
Oh, okay.
She was an Indian girl. And that shit was going to his head because, you know, the pussy got the best of him. So he was feeling himself. So he like, man, I ain't got to do shit. I'll do it when I'm ready. And his pops came up to him and just started smashing
what?
On him. Man, and I'm sitting back there like,
did
damn.
He hit him in them keloids?
Nah. He, I mean, all body shots.
I remember I see my father slap my cousin unconscious because he was slipping backwards in the chair. And I fucked me up because he was mad at me. He was picking me up from juvenile hall for fucking up.
How old was your cousin when he slapped the shit out of him?
About 13 to 14.
Yeah, that's
you know how you sit in the chair backwards, watch the TV?
Yeah.
He slapped his ass, he fell on the floor, and I thought he was dead. He didn't move for about 2 or 3 minutes.
And that's when you can get away with it, though.
Yeah, so I'm trying to walk past my father, walking to the side so, you know, he don't fuck me up. I get past him and try to run down the hallway. He kicked me in my ass so hard, my head hit the light at the top of the thing, and I fell into the damn, what's that, the heater?
Yeah.
Oh, the one on the floor?
No, the long wall heater at the end of the hallway.
The noisy motherfucker.
Yeah. Another time, you know, I kind of got sick as shit Pops was going through. You know, I never bucked up to him, but one time, after listening to his long-ass sermon, I told him, Pops, just because you're the parent don't make you right all the damn time. So he got pissed off at me and pulled a gun on me, man.
What?
My father was crazy.
I'm mine too.
So he said, you know what? I ain't gonna kill you, son, because if I kill you, you won't learn shit. You know, and I'm tired of you being a stupid motherfucker that you are. So what
being
you
a dumbass
do,
saved your
that's
life.
What did he do? He looked in the mirror, putting his tie on. I'm behind him looking in the mirror. And he said, look, there's not enough room in my castle for two kings, son. It's time you find your own damn castle. Because in my house, even when I'm wrong, I'm
right.
Fucking right.
Exactly.
Okay? And he told me, you and all this little shit you accumulated, get your ass out of here.
What time, and how old was you when you left?
17.
I was, when I
yeah, he told
17.
Me, he told me, when I come home, though, have your shit out of here.
Yeah. So you can't tell these kids that shit now. You
well, it's the thing is because the mamas be so babying them and everything. They, you know what I'm saying? They
enablers.
And then they want you. They want to come to you when the kid is out of hand. Why don't you talk to them? Like, I can't talk to them if you're not going to back me up.
Then you talk to them and whoop their ass. Now you the bad guy because now they playing Captain Save-A-Ho trying to save.
What sense is it going to make for me to sit up there and talk to him and then you coming around trying to play the good guy again?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And he's still going to do some old crazy ass sidewinding shit.
So they don't come to terms with no real consequences of life. They think everything gonna be given to them or people owe them something.
Farouk, my son looked at me the other day, and he said, you just mad at me because I don't want to do what you do. You're a barber. I looked at him like, what the fuck?
See?
You've been eating off this barber-ass salary. You've been going to fucking Disneyland, Dodger Stadium. All this shit off this good ass.
Yeah, unappreciated.
Well, you should have told him
hold
that
up.
He's.
Wait, hold on.
He's a junior bum.
Look here. So I looked at him. I said, look here. Do you pay for the toilet paper you use to wipe your ass? If you don't, you can't wipe your ass.
How old is your son?
This thing is 19 years old.
Yeah, my son just turned. Yeah, my son just turned 20.
So look here. I know it's time for him to go, but look here. This, I'm an asshole. So I got something planned for him because I know he don't listen to the radio station. I'm gonna move the whole house out on his ass. So when we move, I can't wait till that nigga start packing his shit. I'm like, where you going? Oh, I thought we was moving. No, we ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Because you don't want to get some of this good-ass barber life.
Yeah,
you know
the buck stops here.
The buck stops. You on your own.
Take your ass to the military, to the Job Corps or something. And come a point, you got to cut him off, man.
You do.
Tough
and,
love.
Like when I had to lay hands on my son, and I told the motherfucker, you can tell your mama, because we was going through that nasty divorce. You can tell your mama whatever, though. Because when I get bailed out, if I go to jail, I'm going to get bailed out. And I showed him my little role. This is my bailout money. I'm going to beat your ass again for sending me there.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. When you whoop your kid's ass or whatever, make it count.
I only had to do, my son now is a great kid now.
Because the last thing you want to do.
He understand how life really works.
Now he's starting to, because now he's
so
20
years old. So he respect and honor the direction you was giving him.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, because everything that I told him that he couldn't see,
he's
seeing now because he's at home with his mom
now.
So
how old is he now?
He's 20.
Yeah.
But his mom is back to traveling, getting her hustle on, so she's leaving him in the house by himself.
So he's like, he got to buy that toilet paper.
Man, that motherfucker calling me up, man. You know, and you can always hear it in their voice. What's up, Dad?
You know when they need something.
What's up, man? Nothing, man. She's just sitting here thinking about you. Oh,
what do you do when your ass is chapped?
Like, no, he like lips. But you know, it's like, yo, so you got something to eat over there?
Right.
Like, nah. It's day-to-day operation over this motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know, shoot, the going
I've
out.
I've been for one self. Yeah,
going out of business sign, stay on, stay posted on the front line.
Right,
you
right.
Know? What you got going on over there? Man, mom out of town, and she left me like $50. When she leave? About a week ago. Where you at now with the 50? It's gone.
That's it.
You know? So, you know, now he's starting to learn how to budget now.
Yeah.
So he can't do everything he want to do. So, like, for his birthday, you know, like, his grandparents sent him some money mm-hmm. and all that. So he was like, I was like, so you going out to dinner? He like, nah. So I went to the store. Got a little
some
food.
Noodles.
Yeah, my girl coming over, so I'm going to just cook dinner.
Yeah, you got, so the, like, you got to do
there
that.
There you go, player.
Cause see,
you
this
the, just chill like that, man.
Because I'm going to tell you this. This is what I noticed, because when you have a kid that you spoil like that, or you, what was the word, enable, here it is that it's really your fault if that kid is 35, 45, still living with your ass, and you still got to tell this grown ass to take the trash out because you didn't give him that tough love, and now you stuck with this grown ass baby.
But you got to let him. But see, my whole thing is that, you know, I've done everything I can do for you up until 18. I've instilled morals and values in you that I believe in. That I hopefully that you will believe
that
in.
That work.
That go out
so
and tell you.
So out of that, your help is more of a consultant and give them some type of support.
And some
now,
kind of guy. And some
now,
kind
if
of guy.
They need help, like say if your son say, Dad, I'm trying to get a car. This is my philosophy. If you say $1,500, I'll match you $1,500.
Exactly.
But I'm not going out to buy you a goddamn car. And you ain't paid one dime. That means when you run out of gas or you break a mirror, get a ticket or anything, you're going to expect for me to come to your rescue.
But that's what I tell my son now. I've done everything I could for you up until 18. Anything after that, monetary, that's a favor.
Now, let me tell you.
Because I'm not obligated to do anything.
You're absolutely
for me
right.
You know, I took care of your ass, and you was balling.
Yeah.
Up to 18.
Now, I'm going to say this in defense of some parents and most mothers. That paternal and that maternal instinct, it is very challenging. I ain't going to say hard or impossible. I'm going to say challenging to detach that from the children, because even though my son is 19, when I look at him, he still look like 7, 8 years old sometimes, especially when he asked me for some toilet paper or some shit. And that when the mother looks at him, they don't really ever see that kid
growing
as an
up.
Adult or whatever like
right.
that. So at the same time, if a parent does not have the discipline and the strength to detach themselves and kick the kid out of the nest, don't get mad if that kid stays in the nest.
Till 65.
Hey, man, because you know.
I know a nigga 65 that his mama bought him his first iPhone.
Wow.
Get the fuck out of here.
That's sad, man.
You
65.
Know him, too.
No, but you know, that's why my son decided to go back and live with his mom, because when he turned 18, I'm like, hey, dude, everybody in this motherfucker getting up going to work.
Yeah.
You know.
If you're not going to work, when I get up, you getting out, too, and I'm locking the goddamn door.
Exactly.
You're
going
to have to find something to do.
Dude, you know, just like I did when I was growing up, because I left home at 17. I went to junior college. From that point on, I went to UNLV. From that point on, I went to Loyola. I've been hustling. I have not been back at my mom's house, and I'm about to turn 54. So I've been on my own for a long fucking time. It's been hard as fucking hell, you know, but you learn how to survive out here.
I'll tell you something. Now, when you do leave your mom's house or whatever, and then you, if you're a real man, you happen, something happened, some twist of fate, you go back to your mom's house, it ain't gonna take you long to realize why you don't belong in that motherfucker.
Exactly. Because
she's still gonna treat your ass like she's 7. I mean, I stayed with my mom one time, I lost my apartment. I'm sitting there, my phone rang, right? She in the room, she go, who's that? I said, Mom, you don't know who this is. She said, who was it? I said, it's my phone. She said, who was it? So I go, oh, shit, it was D. He want me to bring the sack. What's a sack, baby? What you want to bring the sack? Look, I get up. We'll be in there. Me and my mom watch TV, and then I get up to go to the bathroom. She's, where you going? I'm like, to the bathroom, goddamn.
Yeah, they you treat you like a child, man.
So look here, we just got a caller.
When them goddamn bills
come. Hold on, we got a caller. What's your name, caller?
What's up? It's Nancy
Delaney
in the house.
Oh, what's up, Nancy?
What's up, Nancy? I just saw you Sunday night.
Yes. Hey, what's up, Jeff?
How you doing? You had a great set.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, she rocked the house over.
Yeah, she did a hell of a job at the Comedy Lounge, too. I was so impressed. And you look nice, too, Nancy.
Thank you. Yeah, but you ain't have to tell me, like, you know, as soon as he didn't say hi, Nancy, he just was like, damn, did you get the titties done? I'm like, so damn, well, oh how you God. Doing?
Hey, shit, you know, that's how I get down, you know?
Yeah. That was his first thing, his approach to you?
That was his approach, Jeff. Wow.
You lucky I didn't shake him. You lucky I didn't shake him like a handshake. What you got going on, Nancy?
Man, hey, man, I'm going to be at the Ice House Comedy Club September 3rd, Labor Day weekend, Saturday night. I got two shows, 7:30 and 9:30. I want people to come out.
That's in Pasadena?
Some love.
Pasadena?
So you called in to promote yourself.
Yeah I did.
Man, okay. You staying busy. She on top
up.
Of it.
She hustled. So who else going to be at the on the show besides your titties?
Okay, besides my titties and my ass. In my mouth.
Oh, see, I didn't say nothing about that ass. She said she got
in her mouth.
I mean, that's a package deal. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, that's good, though. That's good. You got titties and ass come as a package.
And a mouth. That's the bonus.
Yeah. Yeah. They call that. Okay. In the Dirty South, they call it Pam, pussy ass and mouth.
They do. Exactly.
You know. No, so that's where you're going to be at? You're going to be at the Ice House?
Yeah, I'm going to be at the Ice House. I got Tech Holmes from The Real World. I don't know if you guys remember him. He's performing. I got Tyree Elaine. She's like real popular on
okay,
YouTube.
We don't give a fuck about them, but check this out. Do you have kids, Nancy? Do you have kids?
Yeah, I got kids. Why?
You ever beat their ass?
Of course I beat their ass.
In real life. Now, what do you use, a switch or use a hand?
Both. I use belt, my hand.
That's a real mother.
That's a real mama right there. How long do the ass whippings last? Wait,
how old are your kids?
They're all kinds of ages. I got
she
10.
Said all kinds of ages.
Yep. I got 10, I got 17, I got 19.
Damn, you've been putting that ass and titties to work, ain't you?
Now, the age, the 17-year-old is a boy or girl?
A girl.
Okay, now how's it when it comes to disciplining her?
Well, now, at that age, I got to just take the phone and stuff away because you can't really beat them at that age anymore.
Y'all need to start whooping these kids' ass with the phone. Shit, take the phone away. Get you.
Whip them with the phone.
Yeah, see, if you start off whooping their ass whooping. Whooping their ass at the right age, at around that age, they pretty much cool.
Now, did you see that viral video of that mom in Atlanta when she whipped her child's ass for having sex and the child posted it on Facebook? Did you see that video?
Mm-mm, I didn't see that one. How old was the child?
17. No, 16.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's time for that motherfucker to get out.
Oh, but the mom was wailing on her ass, though.
Yeah,
but then people
like
were
when you're beating them at that age, it's not a belt anymore. You are like throwing fists, you know, at them. You punching them, and you doing like the Mike Tyson and stuff.
Shit, I told my son that's 12 that I'm beating his ass like that. His feet, his feet bigger than me, so I'm gonna deal with his ass like niggas in the street when he think he's slick.
Now, is that your only daughter, the 17-year-old?
No, I got two daughters. I got a 10-year-old.
Okay, too. And then so you have three kids?
Yep.
How old is the son?
My son is 19.
Okay, so you can't discipline him. So now, would you actually come to that, like fist blows with your daughter, or would you handle it a different way? I mean,
like I said, at this point, I gotta handle it a different way. I gotta take shit. Like I gotta take away
privileges.
Like I said, the privileges, the car keys.
Okay, so look here.
That hurts more than the ass.
Wait a minute, I'm thinking. So your kids are 17, 18, and 19.
No,
10. 17 and 19. So one of them
okay, so
19.
The two oldest don't even need to be in the damn house.
They still kids. What the hell are you talking about?
See, that's the shit I was talking about. They still kids.
They need to be on the college campus and the military.
If they don't have their own health insurance, if they can't pay their own bills,
that's what the military offers.
Them older two need to have their ass out the damn house.
Does
the
19-year-old military school?
Does the 19-year-old work?
Hell, Olympics. You should have been promoting their ass to go to the Olympics.
You said they in college?
Yeah, they in college.
So they ain't got no job?
No, I mean, they got them little part-time jobs at school, but shit. You know, they don't have no real.
I wish you was my mama. I stay in school till I'm 65 on
go
your
get,
ass.
Go get that damn Medi-Cal.
Go
down there to that GR office and get that young Medi-Cal.
Exactly.
For now, of them.
Does the 19 go to college in California, in Southern California?
Yeah, they go to college.
Medi-Cal and GR.
What college they go to?
Should I say it?
Yeah, shit.
They go to Pepperdine.
That's a good school.
Now, does he stay at home or does he live on campus?
They on campus.
Oh, okay.
And you still taking their phone while they on campus?
Yeah. I shut it down, son. Right.
Damn. She ain't no bullshit.
Write down, honey.
So she be in there during sleep and pop up and you right over her ass like, give it up.
Yep.
Give me your cell phone, laptop, all that shit. I'm shutting your shit down.
Your ass ride up to Sepulveda. Nancy, you ride up Sepulveda at 2 o'clock in the morning. Get that goddamn phone.
Now, Nancy,
hell yeah.
Are you married or are you raising them by yourself?
I'm married.
Okay, so now are you more of the disciplinary or your husband? Or is it
no,
equal?
No, it's me.
Well, what's your husband do?
He works for the city. Damn, I mean, what is this? I mean,
you called in. This is what happens when you call in.
Hell yeah.
To promote yourself.
You're a good mother. You did a wonderful job on raising your kids, and I'm proud of you, sister. Plus, you funny yourself.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good
thing.
You had me laughing last Friday night, so keep doing your thing.
And we want to see you again, Nancy, and thanks for calling in. We love you. We're gonna
come on the show sometime.
Yeah, we're going to see you down at the Ice House, and we won't get your crazy
did you say
ass.
Ice Hoes?
I said ice hoes.
But he slipped at the
time. I did say ice hoes.
He mispronounced his shit.
I didn't say ice hoes.
Remember I told you people I was going to correct his ass, but I ain't going to do it.
My
I got his ass. Ice hoes.
All my faux pas be about sex.
You said ice hoes?
Yeah, ice hoes.
And Marv had a slip of the tongue. Marv
I'm still thinking about them titties.
There you go.
Yeah. So go support Nancy down at the ice house in her hoes.
Not the ice hoes, the ice house.
Yeah.
Ice house, September 3rd, Saturday night, 7:30, 9:30. Nancy Bellamy and friends.
Pasadena, right. California.
Thank you for calling in.
Pasadena, California.
Thank you for calling in, Nancy.
Thank you.
Yeah. Ice hoes.
That's what you said.
That's like strippers in Alaska.
In Alaska. You ever been to Alaska?
Yeah, I've been to Alaska before.
Sick Alaska.
I like it.
24 hours of light.
I went there. I went to Alaska. And actually, Alaska has some good barbecue. I had some of the best barbecue in my life in Alaska.
Was it elk?
I don't know what Moose? It was. I know it was good. They slow cooked that motherfucker.
Or was it roadkill?
I don't know, but it was delicious.
You know, they scrape shit up off of the ground that's been dead for 4 or 5 days.
If you smother that bitch right, I mean,
it's cold out there in the wintertime. That motherfucker freezes in a matter of 15 minutes, so it's still fresh meat.
It's how you doctor shit up.
Hey, it's fresh meat, man. I seen the program. Alaska, the last wild frontiers. Where y'all, man?
Let me ask y'all this, because this was posed to me. Are you a borrower or a lender?
A borrower or a lender?
When it comes to money, finances.
I'm both. If you give it to me, I'll take it.
Okay.
You should ask me, am I a payer backer?
Are you a payer backer?
I don't pay it back. I got 1,000 excuses for your ass.
What about you, Fred?
What had happened was.
I don't really like to borrow shit, and I don't like to lend shit. You know what I'm
saying?
Why
is that?
Because, see, when you borrow $5 from a nigga, and you pay him back in a week, he gonna talk bad about your mama, your kids, and act like he gave you a motherfucking kidney or a lung or some shit, man. You ever notice that?
But what about when niggas, you know, they come with these great, tremendous, and
then when you loan
stories.
People money, they'll take.
Hey, look, nigga, find his way to your house at 3 o'clock in the morning.
They'll
if you
take
say yes.
10 months to pay you back.
Well, no, the reason I ask because I'm taking these directing seminars, and we came to the part where financing. How to raise money.
Mm-hmm.
And the exercise was, if you have 25 people that you know, the maximum that you see if you can raise is $2,500.
Shit, so you know 25 people that give you $100?
No, so ask each person for $100. And I did that.
How much you get?
I got
35 cents.
No, I got, out of the 25 people, one was able to say, and I just put it down on paper, I didn't take it. One was able to give me 100. One gave me 50, and then one said, get back with me in 2 weeks, and I can give you the full 100.
And you didn't take none of it?
No, it was just an exercise.
That's 25 people that just lied
like
to your ass.
Personal survey, huh?
Yeah, but it was just like, but it just went to show me that how motherfuckers really don't believe in your dream and trying to support you.
Nobody because, do. Like, you got to show people shit.
Yeah, because like 10 people got back to me, and they was like, well, I don't have it.
Well, check
and it was
out.
Like, you know rich people out there. Why are you asking me? And 12 people... To this day, and the exercise that we did was 2 weeks ago, and 12 people still haven't gotten back in touch with me.
Okay, we about
see,
to,
people gotta
we about
see
to go
the
to break. We
got
to go to break.
Hey,
we got to go to break right now. Do a comedy lounge experiment and see how many people, when you get some money, ask your ass to loan them some money. We'll be right back.
That's
after
a
this.
Joke. That's a good joke. Welcome to the trap. Welcome to the trap. Trap. Trap.
Yeah, we back. We back. We want to also remind you guys, if you haven't done this, I want you guys to subscribe to the Mad Marv Comedy Lounge YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe to it so you can get all these alerts.
And what they get with their subscription?
They're going to get the ability to learn how to press buttons. When you learn how to press buttons on your phone, that's going to make you tech savvy, because some people don't know how to do it. Some people be like, well, I don't know how to do it. You do it. I did. I grabbed this dude's phone in the liquor store, and I tried to hook his stuff up, and then he got mad. He said, oh, you work for my wife. You didn't hack my phone. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, nah, brother. I was just trying to get you to subscribe.
Don't you hate the motherfuckers that text when they drive and they just like hold up at the motherfucking light?
Oh, man. What are you talking about?
The fucking light.
The phones is just another reason to have fucked up drivers.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? I saw this guy
on Uber drivers need to kill your
fucking
self.
What do you call
it?
Uber drivers?
Uber, Lyft. You motherfuckers need
Jeff
to kill
has
yourself.
Jeff mispronounced his first word.
Uber.
Said Uber.
That's like the African.
No, you didn't say Uber.
That's the African
said
Texas
Uber.
Driver.
I said Uber.
You said, well, we can always play this shit back. He's going to sit up
rewind
there and
the
say
tape.
Uber. He gonna say, Uber.
It's all right, Jeff.
But you Uber and you Lyft drivers, you need to kill your fucking self.
Why is that?
Because they just pull up any fucking where. They'll stop on the dime and they'll cause a domino effect after that, and they don't even know. I mean, because the passenger just walk off the curb, Uber driver will be in the left lane and just pull over to the right to pick that motherfucker up. They ask the tail end of their car be all assed out. They don't even pull up to the curb. They just pull up and just stop the fucking traffic.
Have you ever used the service?
No.
They got a new one called
a fucking car.
They got a new one. I think it's called Postmates or whatever, where you have them deliver you food at any time of the night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So motherfuckers be doing that, you know.
What they call that, StubHub?
No, it's called Postmates or something like that.
I got one called StubHub, too.
They deliver it, too?
Yeah.
My
son does that.
Which one?
When he comes to the house, my son does that.
Oh, Grubhub.
Yeah,
Grubhub.
Not StubHub. Yeah. Grubhub.
I didn't hear what you said.
StubHub is for tickets.
I thought the porters was talking about some strippers. She said,
I was totally wrong. I didn't know what the hell I was talking about.
I thought she said RubHub, like it was some strippers, you know what I'm saying? Like you call somebody, come over and rub
your
ass.
That'd be a nice one.
My son does that. He Ubered on the Jack in the Box.
For real?
Yeah, and Jack in the Box is only a block away from the house.
That's crazy. But you
it's dangerous out here walking these streets, man. I mean, shit.
Because I know sometimes it'd be late at night, I'd be wanting a pizza or something like that, but I don't want to pay no extra shit. Like, if the pizza is like $8, I don't want to pay $15.
$15, you know, see, there you go. You're haggling the price.
Hey, look, I'll wait till tomorrow. That's why I told you, I'll wait till tomorrow. I'll bust over a pack of noodles in a minute. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got to have it like that.
Oh.
I do not have to have it like that. You know what I'm saying? For real.
You're like, are you seriously? Like, you?
I ain't going to do it.
You ain't doing it?
I'm not doing it.
All right, man.
I'll wait till the morning.
I've been in L.A. for 30 years, and I haven't found a good piece of place out here yet.
Well, you're from Chicago.
You got to go to the spot by the airport. Remember down there?
But look, he's from Chicago, so he like that deep dish, the deep dish style.
Yeah, but I like that thin crust, too.
No,
I like that.
Maria somewhere.
The
little Italian spot down there.
In Redondo Beach?
No, in Westchester. By the little radio spot.
Oh, I forgot the name of it, but that's some good ass pizza.
That's some good pizza.
They got good pizza there?
It's right off of Sepulveda.
I just don't know the name of it.
Yeah, it's right next to
it.
It's a bar.
Sell Italian food in there, got drinks or whatever.
Yeah, I just don't know the name of it, but it's delicious.
Maria's, Mary, something like that.
Yeah, they got another one in Redondo Beach, and they got a picture of Frank Sinatra on the wall. Now, that's a good way to see if the pizza good.
Because Frank is up on the wall?
If they don't see Frank on the wall,
it's
pizza.
Man, they did it his way, man.
Oh, yeah. You see Frank Sinatra, but he had to be Frank Sinatra with the mugshot. You met old Blue Eyes.
Met old Blue Eyes.
You old
enough. While I was a practice player at UNLV.
What'd you do? Was you shooting jump shots with him?
Was he looking for a hotel?
No, he came to our practice, and we got to meet him.
What happened?
So he gave us carte blanche.
So old Blue Eyes got to see Jeff to practice.
He just came in.
Now, what was your damn number in the practice?
Number 12.
Outfit? Number 12.
Yes, sir.
So what happened when you met Frank Sinatra? Tell us about
sitting
that
on
shit.
The bench,
okay, yeah.
You didn't really meet him then. He just showed up and he was like, oh, that's Frank Sinatra.
No, he watched our practice he stayed for like an hour and a half.
Did you shake his hand?
Yes, sir.
Did you ask him about Sammy Davis?
Yes, sir.
What'd you ask him?
A lot.
Was that eye real?
The eye was a glass. I mean, Dean Martin. No, but when I worked on the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson, I had the opportunity to sit down and I talked to Tony Curtis. for like 2 hours.
What did you say?
And that was a great, that was a great moment,
though. Now, Tony Curtis, look, I know we old and shit, but that was the guy that was in a lot of the Beach movies, right?
Yes.
I used to love
Tony Curtis was actually, he was prominent in Sidney Poitier's, for you, the young people. Sidney Poitier was the first African-American to win an Academy Award for Best Actor.
What was it, To Kill a Mockingbird?
That was in the 60s, yeah.
To Kill a Mockingbird, right?
No.
Which one
he
was
didn't
it?
Play in that
no,
movie.
It was for Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Guess Who Come? Sidney Poitier. Okay, I'm looking at, I'm thinking about Brock Peters.
Yeah.
Brock Peters, yeah. So. I used to cut his hair. So
okay.
That's what I was thinking. All right. You know, we all look alike.
Yeah, so, but Tony Curtis, like, went to bat with the studio and demanded that Sidney Poitier's name be the same font size on the marquee.
Because they used
as
to put black people where they
right, living. Yeah. And then he demanded that, and he also went one step further and said that Sidney Poitier's name should go before his.
Now, Tony Curtis.
That sounds like two
is
black
Jamie Lee name. Curtis' father.
Yes, sir.
But that sounds like two black
Janet Lee's mother, yeah.
Tony
yeah.
and Curtis. Yeah. So I can see where he would do something.
Now,
like
that's
that.
Some degrading shit, though, Jeff, man. They go just degrade you by putting your name small as hell.
That's how they
no
do it.
No matter how
they,
good
yeah.
you are, look here, nigga, you always lowercase. Now, that is some very demeaning
that's
shit.
That's how they
right
used to
there.
Do
that's
it.
How it was back then, but.
It's
Tony
still like that now. They just do it different.
They used to let the Indians, they used to let white people play Indians.
Yeah.
They still do.
They still do.
They got white people playing Egyptian gods.
Oh, yeah,
Egyptian
I did see
kings,
that. I saw that. I saw that. Yeah.
They got white people playing Jesus.
I saw that three times. Yeah. I saw that three times.
Go figure. I mean, a white Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it was. They got white people playing Asian people. I mean, over in Hawaii, that movie, I forgot the director name, where Bradley Cooper was in Aloha, that director took a lot of heat. Mm-hmm. Because over in Hawaii, you know, they have Samoans and all that.
Right, right.
And they were like, you couldn't find no Samoans, extras. You had to bring in white, and they had to, like, make up. And,
paint them up.
I can tell me a Samoan when I see one.
You know, they had that movie, too, man. It was a comical.
What you talking about with Robert Downey Jr.?
Yeah, Tropical Thunder.
Yeah.
That was a funny movie, baby. He played a good nigga. I liked the way he played. the only thing they had to give his ass is some fried chicken and get some chicken grease on his lips. And he had it perfect. He played a good nigga, though, didn't he?
We had one. Remember Soul Man with, was it Anthony Hall or whatever? Steve Michael Thomas, whatever. Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah.
Soul Man was funny, the motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, Tropical Thunder.
You
yeah,
have to
he
be
was,
able.
Was good.
He was, yeah, he was funny.
You have to be able to laugh at yourself. I think. You know, with America, we take things too damn serious. You know, if you can't laugh at yourself, there's something's wrong. Like Hillary Clinton, you know what I'm saying? She don't wear dresses. I want to see her legs. Put her on Saturday Night Live and let her wear a dress, and I guarantee she'll get all the votes.
She walk but on wooden stilts.
Yeah, man. now, Trump is questioning her health.
Because well, she's like, 95?
Well, they said he might be crazy. They questioned his sanity.
Yeah, but she has trouble walking upstairs.
How old is she?
I guess she's in her 70s. Mm-hmm. So she's having trouble walking upstairs now.
All them pork chops and that bourbon catching up to her fat ass.
Yes. Trump is certified. That motherfucker is nuts.
Man, you know something that I just thought about? Why is it that, like, black comedians and people on TV, like how we make fun of white people, right?
Right.
You notice nobody never call us racist for making fun of white people?
Right.
But as soon as a white guy mock a member of somebody black, then you got all these sensitive ass niggas that want to jump on him and call him a racist. We need to work on our racial relationship, people.
So you mean to tell me you love to see a show where some white guy's going, okay, and today some niggas was acting crazy today.
If it's funny, I'm going to laugh more.
So you don't have a problem
with the white comedian saying nigga?
No, the closest thing that we ever had to a white boy that was a nigga was Steve Martin. Remember the movie The Jerk?
Oh, man. Yeah, The Jerk. Yeah.
That was funny. He grew up a nigga. In that movie, he was a nigga.
Naven Johnson.
He never knew he was white.
Right.
Naven Johnson.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as a comedian, I don't have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem with none of it.
Was funny.
Look, I don't have a problem with none of it. Only thing I have a problem with is the people that have a problem with it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the whole thing. You got everybody dicking you down in the society that you can't say nothing about or you won't say nothing about. But as soon as you got an opportunity to say some shit about somebody else, now it's a big thing. You want to cry about it.
Well, it's PC now, so it's political correctness.
Same thing. You don't see anybody that's in good shape physically making jokes about skinny, frail motherfuckers. They make jokes about fat people.
People should still be talking about Bruce Jenner ads.
So, I mean, I like pleasantly plump people, especially women. For some reason, I got a fetish with real thick women.
How thick?
Voluptuously.
They said voluptuously.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that.
Voluptuously.
Yeah, voluptuous. Did I pronounce that right? Okay.
Voluptuous.
But my point is this.
Voluptuously.
Why don't we ever make jokes about the skinny motherfucker that look malnutritionist? We in America. Should nobody be walking around here like they need a sandwich every 15 damn minutes?
They need a
need a damn protein shake.
A voluptuous break?
Yeah, they need a protein shake. So skinny people, get your damn weight up and quit making fun of voluptuously sexy, yeah.
Like scrumptiously.
Yeah. Scrumptious. Like them big girls. Y'all see the swimsuit calendar for them big girls?
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
When did they come out?
I like full figure women.
Did they have there a full figure woman on February for Black History Month?
They had some full figure women in there, boy. Like I call that. Them a grown man jumper.
Yeah, there you go. No, you like that, huh?
Yeah, you smile. Look at him. You see kids at the party. Yeah, look at him. He's smiling. Like that,
it must be for lunchtime.
Look, y'all laughing. Look, this summer shit finna be over with. I want to see y'all be hugged up with some bitch to weigh 89 pounds a minute in the wintertime and see how warm your ass is.
I don't like paying my bills. I need
she
some
She ain't
going
to have no snacks or nothing for your ass.
I need some over 2:30 in the wintertime.
She had a great joke on that, though.
Who?
The late, great, the fabulous Yvette Wilson. Rest in peace. Remember Yvette?
What'd she say?
She used to say, because she would always find an attractive skinny woman with a good looking guy, and she because Yvette was like a voluptuous woman. I mean, she was out there, and she would always look at that skinny woman. She would tell the guy, she's like, "Baby, when you tired of sleeping on that hardwood floor, and you want to come get in this king, you know, this cow king bed,
yeah, that comfort zone,
you know." So I was like, "All right, girl,"
and it made sense.
Snuggle all up with that big old ass. Yeah. You can't do that with no skinny broad.
Big girls make you come quick, boy. Yeah.
Hey, look. All bullshit aside, I'm just gonna tell you my experience with a big girl is they will pay you even if they don't want to. I had a big girl. I looked up her titty for $20, and look.
A big girl will swallow you up, though.
And loose chain, everything was up in there. I came up.
But a big girl swallow you up, though.
Hell yeah, but I get all that change about the corners. But anyway, we about to wrap this up, and we also want to remind you once again, subscribe to the Mad Marv Comedy Lounge. Push the subscribe button. It's very, very simple. And let's get that up. And we want to see everybody come out to the J Spot on the 16th of September. This has been another exciting episode of the Mad Marv Comedy Lounge with Jeff and his new beard. And Farouk, that was late today. But we all good.
Yeah,
I got my damn money, though.
That we had fun. We made funny in the beginning, bro.
Yeah. I know you probably did, but I mean, I deserve it, man. I'm
sorry. we was mocking you.
I got my damn money, though.
You goddamn right.
With your voluptuous ass.
Yeah.
For lunch breaks.
All right.
Thank y'all. And we'll see you this time next Tuesday. Bring some tequila, some titties, and some tacos.
Peace see to the then. World.
All right.